Welcome to the Energy Stoners Cafe. My name is Toni Quest, and I'm really happy that you're here. I like to interview the most interesting people I can find on the planet. So grab a cup of coffee, sit down, relax, and listen. You're going to find that these guests are so intriguing, you'll wonder why you didn't know about them before. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Energy Stoners Cafe. I have two guests, and I'm really honored to have them both on. And I first want to thank you. I was thanking you in the beginning for coming to see the show. So our guests today are Jeff Garnett from Clean Slate Laser Tattoo Removal and his client, Mauricio. And we're going to talk about, it's really Mauricio that I'm interviewing today as well. We're going to talk about Jeff's business and the business of doing tattoo removal and how Mauricio and Jeff became client and what do you call the person that's not the client? Okay. How you guys got hooked up? Anyway, I really want to thank you, Jeff, for really allowing me to get in sort of involved and get to know you even better than I already do and how you do your business. Getting a lot of traction on previous interviews that we've done together, but on this particular interview, I'm quite honored to have your client, Mauricio. I don't even know your last name. You can give it if you want. You don't have to. But this particular client is special because he's been through some changes and you've decided to work with him exclusively because of some of the changes he's been through. And I feel that the story is quite inspirational. So Mauricio, I'm going to welcome you to the show. Thank you for coming to the show.
It's a pleasure being here, you know.
And it's my pleasure to interview you. It's my honor. And Jeff, tell me how this actually happened. How did we get to this point? Well, tell me a little bit about how you met Mauricio and how Mauricio met you and why Mauricio is involved with your business. And just tell the audience a little bit about that relationship.
Sure. I had seen there's a tattoo removal company in Australia. A lot of companies in this industry, because it's still a lot of small kind of localized business, we do share some information and we follow each other. Not all of them are as friendly, but there's a small group, we all kind of talk to each other and grow together as we learn new things and stuff. So there's this one place in Australia, and they did a post, and it was almost like a Brady Bunch post of 9 pictures of this gentleman's face. And you see it. The first one, his face was really, really covered in tattoos, and you see them getting lighter and lighter, and then the bottom right-hand corner, it's clear as can be. And when you see the whole transition and you see it just seeing it presented like that just was mind-blowing to me. And I thought to myself, we've removed a lot of face tattoos, but usually like one here, and it wasn't as drastic of a transformation. And seeing how the person looked at the beginning right alongside of how they looked at the very end was very impressive to me. So I was thinking to myself, like, I want to do this, but I also want to find the right person. And we have a lot of people who, because we sometimes donate our services to people who have been through a lot, we have a lot of people that will like contact us and try to sometimes get over on us a little bit. And they'll try to throw together like what seems like an insincere story about just trying to get some free services. I was looking for someone that we could potentially do this with. And I met Mauricio. He had, I guess, seen our website and contacted us. And we started talking, and instantly he was so sincere. And when he kind of explained to me what he had been through and then what he's now accomplishing, you could see his passion and his dedication to it. You see how impressive his story already was with the tattoos and how much more potential he has if we could help him clear them up. And I, without a doubt, like right out of the gate, I was like, this is the guy. I want to help clear his face. I want to help do this thing, because to me, hearing what he had accomplished already, I felt like he really deserved it and wouldn't take it for granted and just would accomplish amazing things, as he already has accomplished amazing things. He continues to impress the hell out of me all the time, every time I interact with him. And I think he's just getting started. So,
So it's really important. We've discussed this, Jeff, that it's always important to give a little back or a lot back as we sort of transition through life, especially as we have successes in life. I feel it's always good to share or be able to give back to society, no matter if it's one person or if it's like a bunch of people or whatever the case may be. So Mauricio, thank you so much for coming to the show. And I saw the before picture of you, the little video, and boy, what a change already. Yeah. So how long have you been going through this transition?
I believe it's been already 2 years this summer since I ever started getting treated. Yeah, with Jeff, I think we've been working for like a year and a half or something like that,
So tell me a little bit about your past. And, you know, tattoos are so permanent. And I know that I had discussed with Jeff, it's like somebody might have changed so much on the inside the way you apparently have. But when you present yourself after you've actually gone through this change, your face really would represent your past.
Yeah.
So what was it that you wanted to actually erase? Like, tell me about some of the designs that you had put and explain to me why you chose your face as your canvas.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because people ask me that a lot. The way I put it is maybe, I could honestly say, like, growing up, you know, I went through a lot of situations in my life. And it all started, like, I'm from Colombia, right? I was born in Colombia. Mm-hmm. And then so my mom came to the U.S. and she left me with my dad. And then my dad, when I was 8 years old, he got murdered in Colombia, you know? So I feel like from there, just my life started going downhill a little bit, you know. So then my mom brought me here when I was 10. And so I never had a good relationship with my mom, like many teenagers, you know. I feel like my story in a way is unique, but it's very common too, because it's just many teenagers, they go through the same story. And so I came here, and then at 14 years old, I moved out of my house with my brother, my older brother. So that right there, it shows that I had a lot of very unstable household, you know. So I always had a lot of depression. And so I started hanging out with the wrong people, you know. I had a lot of friends that they were involved with many things. And so, you know, I started hanging out with them. I started doing things with them as a young, you could say maybe stupid, you know, whatever. You're growing up, you get influenced very easily, you know. And then by like 17, 18, I was already living on my own. You know, I was living in a small room in Queens. I grew up mainly in Queens, Jackson Heights. You know, it's a lot of Spanish kids, very Latin community. And so I feel like just my life, it left me a lot of holes, you know, a lot of emptiness in my heart. And then, but I always had a passion for art. You know, I always liked art. But at the same time, I was involved in, you know, like I said, with the wrong friends. And I also started doing drugs, right? Started using drugs, maybe to cope with my pain. I don't know, but it helped me, you know, to escape reality for a little bit. And so when I started tattooing, I would say kind of became homeless. I was like 18, 19 years old, and I didn't have a place to stay. So the lady that was teaching me how to tattoo, she let me sleep in the shop at nighttime. And then during the day, I would practice like an apprentice. You don't get paid when you're an apprentice. So I would practice the tattoos, right? And then in the nighttime, I would sleep in the tattoo table. I lived like that for, I think, like 6 months, you know? I did it for 6 months. And then I would shower in her house, but I would always sleep in the tattoo shop. And then I had my older brother, actually, he ended up going to jail. He got arrested. He did 5 years in prison. And then he was like my father, you know, he was like a father figure to me. And so I guess like all these things, right? And so when I was like, I would say maybe 14, like I wanted to kill myself. It was many things, right? Like I wanted to commit suicide. I ended up in a hospital because I drank some rubbing alcohol. And so, you know, they had to take me to emergency, and they placed me in this, I guess it's like a place where many kids go with a lot of problems. You know, I remember there was kids that, you know, they would run away from home and you know, things like that. I stayed there for just, you know, a couple of days, but they want, because just say you're fine, because if not, they're going to leave you here. That's what my family said, you know. So I was like, yeah, let me just say I'm good. I just want to go home, you know. But I was 14 years old, and after that happened, that's when I left my house, right? So all these things, and so I started drinking a lot. As like every teenager started smoking weed. Then it escalated to using cocaine, you know, doing pills. And then eventually I escalated to crack, you know, smoking crack. And I also did... it's like this very hard drug. It's called Bazooka. I went through a drug addiction. And so honestly, I had a lot of anger inside of me, right? I had a lot of anger. And so a lot of frustrations with my life. I also like try to cut my veins. So I guess like it's a combination of everything, right? So when people ask me about my face tattoos, I'm not going to sit down and tell them everything, right? I'm not going to sit down and start breaking it down to them. Oh, because of this, because of that. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like it was something that I didn't have control over it, and it just led me to those things, right? And so a lot of my face tattoos, like, they were, to me, I used to say supposedly that I wanted when people used to look at me, I wanted to know that, you know, I've been through a lot of things, right? So it was like my resume, something like that, you know, or like, you know. So I have like, well, this is like the New York tattoo, and you know, it's not that good, you know.
It's not as prominent as it used to
be. Yeah, I mean, it's more like anger stuff. Like, you know, I was angry, I was going through it with my life, and so let's say like this one, it means warrior, you know, in Chinese. Mm-hmm. It means respect. Mm-hmm. Because I was always big on respect. I used to think I was tough and whatever, you know. But it is what it is, right? So, so all my facial tattoos, they meant like my past, right? It was like my past. And honestly, like, I never thought I was going to change, right? I never thought I was going to change my life or, you know, be where I'm at right now. I'm 31 years old, and thank God I'm mm-hmm. clean. I made it. And I never thought I was going to make it this far, to be honest, right? I thought I was going to.
So you obviously had something to express. It sounds like if your father died when you're very young, that's traumatizing to lose a parent at that age.
Exactly.
I know for a fact it is. I lost a parent at that age, a little younger. But it is traumatizing, and it kind of stays with you. But somehow you ended up in the United uh-huh. States, okay? And with your mother and all, it's obvious from what you're saying that you needed something more.
Yeah.
Do you feel that the tattoos that you had on your face affected the way people would respond to you, how people treated you?
I feel like also like I've grown, you know, my state of mind, my mentality. Mm-hmm. So back then, honestly, I didn't care, right? When I was younger, I didn't care about school. You know, I barely finished high school. I graduated, but let me tell you, like, I never went to school. I was always caught in class. I was always failing mm-hmm. class. I didn't care about school, right? So I feel like it's difficult because when you're young, you don't think about the future, right? You don't think that there's consequences to your actions. You don't think that when you get older and you want to get another job, now you're already stereotyped. Doors that are going to be closed because of your appearance, right? So it's very difficult. It's a difficult situation, because if it wouldn't been for Jeff and Clean Slate that they gave me that opportunity, I don't know where I would be right now, you know? I don't know how I would be feeling too, because it's like something permanent, right? And maybe some people would say, oh, well, you know, you're dumb. Why you didn't think about the future? Oh, why, you know, nobody obligated you to do it. Yeah, but at the same time, you don't know what I went through, right? You weren't there when I didn't have a place to sleep. You weren't there when, you know, there's nobody there to help you out and you feel lonely in this world and you're like, yo, what am I going to do? You weren't there when I didn't have food to eat, right? when I had to go to sleep hungry, because it happened many times. So there was a lot of pain, a lot of rage inside of me, a lot of anger. Also, like I said, influences from, I don't want to call them bad friends, but, you know, they were in the wrong scenario, right? Or scene, if that's the right term. And then drugs, they play a big role in your life too. You know, drug addiction is something very, very difficult to go through, right? So yeah, I mean, back then I didn't care, right? But so my life changed. My life took a big turn. And honestly, I could honestly say, now I consider myself like a religious person. Before, I didn't used to, I mean, I always knew God existed, but somebody invited me to a Christian church, and that's where really my life started changing, you know? So that's when my mentality started changing.
So you actually found
yeah,
God.
Yeah.
And so it kind of changed everything. What was it that made that particular, like your relationship with God, caused you to actually change yourself? Because you're talking about not going to school as a teenager, but now I understand that you're in college and you're studying. Yeah, yeah. Tell us about that. I want to hear all about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of maybe I could put it like that, an interesting story how it happened, right? But so mm-hmm. like I said, my brother was doing 5 years, right? He got deported, unfortunately. He's in Colombia right now. But back then he was still incarcerated. He was in the feds. And so I tattooed for 6 years, right? I tattooed for 6 years. It eventually picked up. I learned and I could eat from it. But since my addiction, I wasn't very stable, because any money I would get, I would buy the drugs, right? I would waste it right away on drugs. So I was tattooing this guy, and he happened to see my brother's picture. He was in prison. I had a picture from him from the yard. He was in the yard. And so he's like, oh, I know that guy. So I was like, yeah, that's my older brother. You know, I love him a lot. He's like a dad to me, whatever, whatever. So then he's like, listen, man, you know. So we started talking. And then, so back then I used to be different, right? Like I had more hair. So I had long hair. You know, okay? My tattoos were like really dark. I used to be like a metal kid, you know, like I used to dress black, the skulls, the chains, you know, I was very like heavy metal, whatever. He's like, I see something in your eyes, you know, and I want to tell you something. So I was like, okay, yeah, what's up? You know, he's like, you might think I'm crazy. And I was like, bro, I mean, I've been through many things, you know, I met a lot of crazy people too. So tell me what's up, you know? So then he's like, yeah, you know what happened is I go to this church where God speaks to me. And I was like, okay, you know, all right. And then he's like, yeah, you know, this Christian church is called Church of God Ministry of Jesus Christ International. It's in Queens, and you know, it's a really nice church. So by then, my brother, he contacted me from prison. You know, we used to talk on the phone, and he used to write letters or whatever. So, and he knew, like, I was downhill on the drugs, right? It got really bad. A couple times they had to go to a tattoo shop. One time they went to a tattoo shop. They took me out in an ambulance. Because I guess the day before I took so many drugs that my body just, I guess, went on shock. I don't know. Like, they had to take me to the hospital. So he was hearing these things, right? And then I would, like, sleep anywhere in the trains. A couple times I would sleep in the trains. Stuff like that. Like, I went through a couple situations, right? So I would, like, wake up in the train. I would get out of work, go drink, get high, do drugs, go to the train, sleep in the train, get up, go back to the tattoo shop like that. So, so he was like, my brother contacted me from there. He's like, no, you got to go search God, because he was searching God in prison too. And he had a rough life too, you know. Let me tell you, he had a rough life too. But so,
because it was his father too that got killed.
No, we have different dads. But his grandma raised him, you know. He didn't even get raised by his dad or mom. His grandma raised him. So, you know, we had a little bit of, you know, story there. So he was like, well, he loved me a lot, right? Because he knew, he saw when my dad got killed how it affected me. So he was like, oh, you got to search God, right? So I was going to this other church, but I didn't feel anything, you know. I didn't feel anything. And then so, around the same time, this guy invited me to this church. So I was like, okay. So I went, right? And I went with my wife now. I've been with my wife 12 years. And yeah, so she's seen my change. We've been through a lot. Of course, like at first it wasn't a very stable relationship because of my situation, but she always been there by my side. I gotta tell her, I gotta give her that, you know? So we went together and I remember, so I walked in and like I said, like I walked in how I used to look, right? You know, I had a longer beard, long hair. I used to have like, they call it earplugs, you know, like stretch ears.
Yeah.
So I closed them down now, but I went in like that, dressed all black. I think I had like a big skull on my, you know, and I'm going into a Christian church, right? You know? So I'm pretty sure they don't get that every day, somebody walking in like that. And so I go in and then usually at the end, they have like a segment where it's they call it the prophecy, right? It's in the Bible. So there's people that they serve God and they have the gift of prophecy. So what it is they lay hands on you and then they give you a message. Mm-hmm. And then, but it's not the person, it's really God talking through them, right? So God started telling me how he knew what I've been through and he has saved my life many times. And I know that for sure. And so he said he was going to make a change in my life, you know? He promised me he was going to change my life. He was going to turn my life around. And that he was going to also put me to study, go to school. And he was going to help me out just to, like, search for him. And let me tell you something. I'm going to be honest with you. It was something incredible. I never felt nothing like that in my life, ever. Like, it touched my heart. Unbelievable. Like, it was like something right away, like, you know, instant, you know, same day I felt God. And ever since then, that's when my life really started changing. That's what I say, like my life really took a turn, you know, for the best, six years ago.
So you know that it was because of your relationship that you decided to have that relationship with God. It was your decision to do that.
You have to take the first step.
And so what are you doing now? I know you're in school. What are you studying?
In the tattoo industry, I met many good people, right? But of course, like everything, you know, there's a lot of also things that it could influence you a lot, you know, in to do bad things. So I knew I had to change, right? Yeah. I knew I had to change my environment. So 6 months into church, I decided to stop tattooing. It was just not because the art is something bad, not because tattoos are a sin. It's just the environment. Mm-hmm. To me, it affected me. You know, just me. Maybe it didn't affect the others, but it affected me. So I stopped tattooing, and then I had to pick, like, I did many jobs, you know, because you're heavily tattooed, you know. You only knew how to tattoo, so it was rough, too, at first, you know. So I just started picking up any odd jobs, and then I just started doing, at the end, I started doing construction, right? So I started doing a little bit of electricity as a helper, always as a helper, and then some demolition and, you know, just to get paid, to try to get by. And then some guy in church, actually, he gave me the opportunity because he's doing floors. He's been doing floors for many years. And so he knew my story, right? Because I also testified in church. And, you know, after a few months into church, I testified in church. So some people in church, they know, you know, they know my story and because God has changed me. So he was going to open his company. He was like, it's a small business, but he's like, look, man, I could try to help you with some work. It might not be full-time all the time, but it's something. So I was like, yeah, I'll take whatever right now, right? So I started liking construction, you know, and I saw that it gave me an opportunity, even though I was so heavily tattooed, you know. And so and then I always had this thing in my heart that I was like, you know, I want to go back to school, right? I want to go back to school. So first I did a 2-year program in construction project management in a school. But I always had that fear in me. I was like, maybe I won't be capable of doing this. And then so, but you know, people were encouraging me to also. And so eventually I signed up for college and now this is my first year. I'm finishing right now. We're in finals, right? But so this is my first year. And then doing civil engineering technology. Yeah.
Nice.
Civil engineering.
Yeah. It sounds like you're on the road to public administration, but that's the next interview. Okay, you'll be able to run a city with your knowledge.
I don't know.
You know? So think about it. Look it up. Public administration. Yeah. Yes. Those are the people that run cities. It's never really the mayor. It's always the person with the degree in public administration.
Yeah, yeah.
But it sounds like you're on the road to that. But it sounds very inspirational. From what I'm hearing, it sounds like what had happened with the tattoos for you, especially since you were wearing them like on your face, it was almost as if the tattoos were diluting who you really are.
You feel trapped, you know, because you know, many people change, but you don't have the ink on them to because, you know, it's like, you feel trapped, to be honest. You know, like I said, people change, but they don't have the ink on them. But then let's say if you're already tattooed and then you change, you still have a stereotype on top of you, you know? So.
Stereotype.
Yeah.
It sounds like, though, that you've been in this country since you're 10 years old.
Yeah.
And it's obvious that to me, even with your accent, you seem very, very American.
Yeah.
I don't mean as anything. It's just an observation.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just the way you actually carry yourself. So with your education, now after you get, you're going for a bachelor's degree. Is that what you're going after?
Yeah, that's my goal, to get the bachelor's degree. But right now I'm working one step at a time. So I want to make sure at least I get my associates. Because I know with my associates, I could go in the field. Then hopefully by then all of this will be gone, or my tattoos visible, you know. And then hopefully get my bachelor's, because with my bachelor's I could apply for like a professional engineering licenses. Like, you could do many things, right? You could go forward.
And I
actually, it's funny because now I enjoy school. I really like school, to be honest. And I'm doing pretty good. Like, last semester, I got a 3.4, 3.6 GPA.
Oh, that's pretty damn good.
Like,
wow, that's very good.
And this semester, I'm doing pretty good too, you know. So, hey, listen, you know, I always say, like I say, it's like, I feel like I mature, you know. I grew. I'm in a different state of mind. Now I take things more serious. I actually have goals. Like, I know I'm not that old, but I'm 31. So, you know, it's just...
You're still a young man, and so you have a whole life ahead of you. I can tell you, 31 is young. It is. And if you keep your young mindset. So you have, do you have any children, or do you have that? Is that in the picture for you in the future?
Yeah, it's in the picture. Maybe not right now, because I'm still trying to find my way, you know. I've been blessed that I still get to pay my bills and stuff. But, you know, there's still some times where you struggle a little bit. That's normal, right? So, but I would like to be more stable when I have my kids, you know, just to give them a good future. Hopefully, I could give them a good example. And I always say this in my mind, you know, like, I want to be there for them. I want to teach them the right way, you know, so it doesn't happen again. Like, it happened to me, happened to my brother, you know. And happened to many people. I you best believe in the tattoo industry, you meet many, many people from all different types of backgrounds and all different types of lifestyles, you know? And so you learn a lot of things, right? So it's kind of a blessing too, because you get to meet people that want crazy things and you learn from them, right? So, so yeah.
So usually when we would get another tattoo, because you know, you're discussing that you had a lot of them, you know, what would prompt you to do it? Was it like a catalyst? I don't have tattoos. I got a temporary tattoo one time. And I have to say, there is something about it. You know, so I'm really looking forward to getting another temporary tattoo. Temporary tattoo. You know, they do the henna. But I was very intrigued with it. And I remember just really loving having that beautiful art on myself. And I do appreciate it. As someone that sort of has virgin skin, I do appreciate them. But it's interesting, you were making a very, very strong statement with yours.
I mean, like I said earlier, like, I guess, like, I had a lot of anger inside of me. So I was that type of person, you know. I changed a lot. So I used to be the type of person that, like, let's say if you rub me off the wrong way, I would just try to do something right about it, right? So, but I blame it, like I say, on my state of mind and my anger and my depression. So, you know, when you're sad inside, you act sometimes
Yeah.
So, like I said, everything on my face is just negative. It's negative. You know, it's very negative.
Yeah. But what's in your heart is different. Yeah. So if you get, you go through these things now, your heart is different from what I can see. And so if you have those feelings, do you find that your affinity and your relationship with God helps you now when it really didn't serve you then? I mean, what do you think changed that made you, what do you think it is that made you change? Do you think it was like a catalyst that when you walked into that church, you just felt the energy? Because that happens to people. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes it's as simple as that. But yours seems very unique because it seems that I can't imagine you having a violent streak in your body. I just don't feel it. I don't see it. I don't feel it. But I think if I was just looking at your face only, I mean, how did people respond to you in general?
I mean, the people that used to know me, they would tell you how I used to be, right? And they would say, like, they would like say, yeah, this guy used to be a little bit crazy sometimes, you know. He would react certain ways.
Did you have a temper?
Yeah, really bad temper, for sure.
Yeah. So we call some people have what they call a hair trigger temper. You know, it's that the one thing, boom, you're just like, you just explode. Yeah, that was,
but honestly, what really helped me a lot and changed me was, I think like the relationship that I got to build with God, you know, like I said, after that day, it just didn't stay there. I continued with church. I continued going to church. I started reading the Bible. I will never read the Bible. Mm-hmm. And I already read the Bible in Spanish 3 times, and now I'm reading it in English, you know, because, you know, I want to learn it in Spanish and in English. And so, but it was that relationship that I got to build with God, you know. I started going to church. I started going to the teachings, to the Bible studies. And it was like a every week thing, you know, like I wouldn't stop. Like, I think like I was so thirsty for somebody to just help me. I found finally like that water, right? So when you're really thirsty, you start drinking and drinking and drinking and drinking. And then so I was able to build that relationship with God, and I started learning the teachings, right? So what are the teachings? Let's say, for example, not to get religious here, but, you know, they teach good things like, you know, respect your wife, respect others, treat everybody with respect. Don't be violent. Don't be aggressive. You know, things like that, you know, don't steal, don't lie, you know, a lot of those good qualities and morals that they teach you in church. And so you start wanting to put in practice, right? So you start, and it was a process too, you know, like I said, I had a really bad temper. So I have to breathe. I have to control myself. Mm-hmm. Think twice. I have to walk away sometimes, you know, let me just walk away. So it was a process, right? So I feel like that relationship with God is what really helped me. But I only found it, to be honest with you, in that church. But it was a very close relationship. Like I'm 100% sure that God exists, at least for me. And if it would have been for God, I don't know where, I don't think I would still be alive, to be honest. I would probably be dead already, or I don't know. I don't even want to think where I would be, you know, but. I feel blessed. I feel blessed that I was given an opportunity. I feel blessed that I met Vince Slade and I met Jeff. And I always tell him too, and I want him to know too, like to me, this is a big deal. To me, this is something big. It's my life. You know what I mean? To me, this is my life.
So tell me about when and how you actually met Jeff, because I think that you were actually in two different worlds. Yeah. When Jeff approached you, what did you think? Was it like a miracle come true?
Yeah, I mean, that, to me, that's a miracle. That's a blessing, you know. So what happened with Jeff, it was like, so, okay, ever since I started church, then I stopped tattooing. So now I'm stuck with the tattoos, right? So I was like, I want to remove them. But like I said, I didn't have the money for it. And so I was very unstable at first. And so I started looking around, but you also get scared too, because it's your face, right? So you don't want nobody to burn your face. You don't want scars. You don't want nothing like that.
Yeah.
So I started looking around, and then I saw their website, and I believe I contacted them, right? And so at first, he was nice. He talked to me, I'm sorry, but then at first, so you're very like, you don't know, you don't, right? At first, it's very hard to trust somebody because you don't know the person, right? And then it's your face, it's your life, it's so private, it's so many things involved, right? It's not just one thing, it's your life, everything. So you know, I was like, you know, let me just wait, let me see what happens. So I continue with life and whatever, but I really wanted to take this off, right? So my wife, she was like, you know, keep looking, don't give up. You know, I tried to knock on some doors. People were like, nah, whatever, whatever. And so I went to this other place first, right? So at first, like, so people gave me a little bit of money to help me out, right? To get like the first treatment. And so I was able to do, I believe, what, like 2 treatments with them. And then they were like, we're going to give you a free one. But I knew I wasn't going to be able to continue because it's very expensive. You know, and like I say, I was just leaving. I just had enough for my bills, and that's it. I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna have to stop. Maybe this is not the time, not the right time. And then, but then, so I think I contacted Jeff again, and he was like, he was very nice, and even though everything, he was like, look, if you're still really interested, I really want to help you. You know, I want to help you out. And then I was like, wow. You know, I was like, I mean, if you're really about it like that. I mean, I have nothing to lose, you know, actually I got many things to gain, but so I don't know. I remember we spoke, I think like during the week, and then that same weekend, I was like, all right, let's go. And that's when I went, and then he started treating me, and then he agreed to help me out with my visible tattoos. And I mean, look, let me tell you, I feel blessed. Honestly, I feel blessed, and it's been a blessing, like I said. And because, you know, many people say like, oh, you know, this is 2020, you know, tattoos don't really matter like that. But no, they do matter. Let me tell you, I'm sorry. They do matter because I'm the one walking around with them, you know. So they do matter to me because there's been times that it happened twice where one time I was in a building and I was working. I was already off in church after I stopped tattooing. And so I was working in a building, and then somebody said that in the apartment that we was working at, somebody had a weapon, mm-hmm. right? So they called the police. They came to the apartment with shields, like some crazy stuff, like if we really were armed. Uh-huh. And you know, we've seen in the news what happens sometimes when that happens, right? People get shot, people get killed. Yes. It's dangerous.
Innocent
people, right? And we were just working, and then they rushed in the apartment. They came in like I think like eight officers. They handcuffed me.
Wow.
And I mean, come on, we know why, right? We know why. You know what I'm saying? Because appearance. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was one time. A time before, I mean, they let me go, but they didn't find anything. We didn't have no weapons. And then another time, I was walking. I was still tattooing then, and I was walking through the Bronx, and because I used to go to people's houses. And a van pulled over, they put me against the wall, they started searching me, they started, where are you coming from? Let me see. And then, do you have weapons? Do you have drugs? Da, da, da. So you're going to tell me, I mean, appearance doesn't really matter? No, come on, man, it does matter, you know what I'm saying? So it does. Yes. And so that's what I'm saying. So when people say like, no, it's 2020, don't worry about it. No, man, it does matter. So it's a big deal to me, you know, no matter, I could be going to college, but if I can't change my appearance, it's going to be rough, you know. A lot of doors are going to be closed.
Yeah. But what's next? What's next for you? You're going to finish your degree.
Yeah.
You're going to get your associates. Uh-huh. And I'm very happy that you have a stable home life with your wife. That's the most beautiful thing. When you can find someone to love you for who you are and look beyond your appearance. I mean, I can say that just as an African-American woman, you find someone that can look beyond your appearance or the color of your skin or the markings on your face. That's huge.
Yeah.
So what are your plans next? Like, what do you want to do next besides just continue your good journey here?
Yeah.
Because you're very inspirational.
Yeah, I mean.
You are.
I don't know. Like, I always consider myself a regular guy, you know, and just had a crazy life, you know, some situations. But so, yeah, so I like I said, I want to concentrate in school. I want to have a better paying job, you know, I can't be ungrateful that I have a job, but you know, I need better. I need to really organize myself. You know, it's been a journey and a half. You know, it's been a journey before I met church, and then it's another journey even after church, because you have to get your life on track again, right? So I want to get a better job. It would be a dream to see myself without tattoos, you know, honestly, like, I think about it every day. I'm like, man, I just want to see myself again without tattoos. It would be beautiful, something beautiful. And continue with church. I don't know, you know, whatever it has for me, you know. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not a person to really put my stuff out there like that, to be honest. But I just feel like maybe if I could help somebody, inspire somebody, I don't know, whatever, right? Or maybe God has me here for a reason. I don't know. So that's why I just do it. But yeah, I mean, I always had that feeling of helping others, because, you know, when you go through stuff, you want to help others. And I don't know, whatever it has got for me, but positive stuff.
Well, you're doing really great. And to consider what you've been through, a lot of people don't realize that the things that happen in your past do affect what's going on with you, you know, as you grow older, as you mature. Yeah. And I have every confidence in you.
Yeah, yeah.
That you're going to do well, because it's not often that you see people that can turn their lives around after going through what you went through as a child, and then leaving your country, you know, losing your father like that, leaving a country and coming to another country. You're dealing with so much prejudice just from the get-go. Yeah. And look at you now. Look at you. And you know Jeff Garnett. Yeah. I can't believe he even talks to me, Jeff Garnett. No, but this is a beautiful thing. Let's follow up with you, you know, because I don't want to put any pressure on anybody for how fast you have to do things, but I'm really very interested in the progress. And, you know, I know a lot of people that would just love to hear more about your story, and we'll talk again. I know for sure that we'll talk again. And you are an inspiration, and you're on your way. You know, it sounds like your heart has changed and your face is changing. Thank you so much, Mauricio, for coming on the show and sharing such a very intimate part of your life's journey. And I know you're on your way. I know you're in the right hands. And I'm very happy for you that you're in at least a stable relationship means so much. And you obviously don't take things for granted. So keep studying. Let me know if there's anything I can do to help. And I want to see the progress. And I know that Jeff will definitely keep me posted. Jeff Garnett, you know, you're an angel. You know, Jeff Garnett's a really good man. I've known him for many years. And if he were to take you under his wing like this, I know that you're special, because he wouldn't do it if you weren't. Thank you, guys. And Jeff, we're going to talk again. And Mauricio, you know, when you're ready, I'd love to have you back on to tell more about where you're at from one stage to the next, because it's a very inspirational story. And I'm going to tell the audience, thank you so much for coming to listen to the Energy Stoners Cafe. I always promise to have the most interesting guests. And I think that my guests are far more interesting than I am, which is why I like this job so much. But thank you for coming. See you next time. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to the Energy Stoners Cafe.